I've been thinking a lot lately as I got prepared to do this sermon on Pentecost about breathing. And I was thinking that one of the most frightening symptoms of COVID is the inability to catch one's breath. And that might mean that a person might have to be on a ventilator in order to breathe. And this morning is all about the breath, something we take for granted. We don't think very much about breathing. So I just want us to stop, and I'd like us all to take a breath. Be very aware of your breath. Breathe in and breathe out. According to mathematical possibilities, every breath we take is taking in at least one molecule that has previously resided in the lungs of every person who has ever lived. I'm going to repeat that. Every breath we take is taking in at least one molecule that was previously resided in the lungs of every person who ever lived. And the story of the breath is just a small example of the infinite ways we are connected to the world around us. Each human being, every creature that was ever lived, and every human and creature that is yet unborn. The air we breathe on a molecular and atomic level is recycled. Long after oxygen has left our bodies, it will be taken in by some other creature or absorbed by the earth to be part of another existence in a string of events through unending time. Take another breath. One of my favorite authors and priest, Barbara Brown Taylor, writes, planet is wrapped in a protective veil we call the atmosphere, which separates the air we breathe from the cold vacuum of space. And beneath this veil is all the air that ever was. No cosmic planet cleaning company comes along every 100 years or so and sucks out all the old air and pumps in new. That same ancient air keeps recirculating, which means every time any one of us breathes, we breathe in the stardust left over from the creation of the earth. We breathe dinosaur breath, the air that flows over the Rocky Mountains, and the air that has turned yellow with sulfur over Mexico City. Every time we breathe, we take in what was some baby's first breath or some dying person's last. Every time we breathe, we take it in, we use it to live, and when we breathe it out, it carries some of us into the next person. Or a tree, or a white-tailed skunk who will use it to live. We breathe the same air as Adam and Eve and Moses and Joshua and Jeremiah, the great apostles Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Paul. We breathe the same air as the two thieves crucified on either side of Christ. We breathe the same air as Judas, when he took his own life, shamed and alone after the betrayal. And when our Lord took his last breath for love of us, saying, "It is finished," that same breath was sent into the world. And it was the breath of God, and it was sent spinning over all creation until it was a mighty wind flowing through an upper room in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And there it descended and into the lives of 120 men and women who were to become the church of then, now, and forever. That same breath, striking sparks that burst into flames above their heads, and they were filled with every one of them, filled to the gills with God's one breath. So consumed by the breath of God, They went out in the streets of Jerusalem, and the holy air came out of them in languages they themselves did not understand. Parthians and Medes and Amalekites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Jews and proselytes and Arabs, Cretans. In our own languages, they heard them speaking about God's deed of powers. And before the day was over, 120 had become 3,000 who had not believed themselves capable of tying their own sandals without Jesus. And Jesus discovered abilities within themselves they never knew they had. And bumbling foot in the mouth, Peter discovered that he was capable of great preaching. And he raised his voice. Can you see him in the middle of Jerusalem with 3,000 people? He raised his voice full of passion and delivers a sermon about the Spirit coming among all peoples, proclaiming everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if we think this is the same old story resurrected from a dusty book called the Bible, we need to think again, because this is our story. This is the same Holy Spirit that we breathe in and which sets hearts and minds ablaze. Our spiritual ancestors had sucked in God's own breath and they had been transformed by it. The Holy Spirit had entered into them the same way it entered into Mary, the mother of Jesus, and for the same reason. It was time for God to be born again, not in one body this time, but in a body of believers who would receive the breath of life from the Lord and pass it on, using their bodies to distribute the gift. So do we believe even? Intervention? Do we believe and trust in a God that goes through closed doors and gives us peace the world can never give? Do we believe and trust a God whose power transforms us, or have we come to some sort of unspoken consensus that our God is a pretty old and tired deity we can offer our prayers to, but have no expectations of a changed life? Do we think of our relationship with Christ as being in a waiting room, having to take a number and wait for our turn to be filled with holy breath? Are we the church as C.S. Lewis described? Have we become like an old lady in a rocking chair? My prayer for all of us is that we will never rest until we felt that Holy Spirit blowing through our lives, rearranging things, opening hearts, and setting minds on fire. We cannot make it happen on our own, but we can pray unceasingly, "Come, Holy Spirit, fill me again with your breath of life." To ask for the Holy Spirit is one thing. It's quite another to know what it is, when it is here. One way we can know the Holy Spirit's presence is that there is this sense of new beginnings. Say that you've been in a bad place for a while. Nothing or no one can get you out of it. You just go through the motions. I don't know about you, but COVID has done that. I feel like I'm in a time warp. You go through the motions, sleeping, eating, shopping. You just can't see the good. You can't see the good, the positive in life. Then, out of the blue, one day, you see a rainbow. An incredible sunset. A baby smiles at you. You hear a bird chirping outside your window where no one has ever sung before. Your heart softens and color seeps back into your world. You get a second wind. Each of us has been born again into the kingdom of God through the supernatural agency of the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit does an inward work in us. We heard it from our gospel. Administers justification, regeneration, and new birth. The one who cleanses us within, who comforts us and bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And second, that the Holy Spirit does an upward work in us. Jesus says of the Holy Spirit, he will glorify me, for he will take care of what is mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit is always pointing us heavenward to glorify Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Lord. And third, the Holy Spirit does an outward work in us. Inward, upward, and outward. The empowerment that took place on the day of Pentecost resulted in a powerful gospel witness, and 3,000 people from a variety of backgrounds were radically saved. One of the trademarks of the Holy Spirit is to get people way back into relationships. Maybe this has happened to you. It's happened to me. It's happened countless times in my life. You've been estranged from someone you really care about because of something you said or did, or something that they said or did. Doesn't matter which. You begin to think of ways to open up a conversation, perhaps. Maybe in your prayer time, and this has happened so many times to me, God puts this person on your heart. You maybe draft a letter in Word, put it in a file, don't send it. Or rehearse in your mind the conversation you're going to have. And then suddenly the phone rings and you hear, "Hi, can we talk?" Go to the mailbox and find a card that expresses the same sentiment. And then in a second, the right words and emotions are expressed. That is the Holy Spirit. And once we really begin to notice these changes, it becomes easier to see and easier to spot the working of the Spirit of Pentecost. And again, Taylor writes, whenever 2 + 2 does not equal 4, but 5, when you find yourself speaking with eloquence you know you do not have, or offering forgiveness you had not meant to offer, whenever you find yourself taking risks you thought you did not have the courage to take, or reaching out to someone you had intended to walk away from, you can be pretty sure you're learning about the gospel of the Holy Spirit. And here is the wonder of it all. You and I taking part in and breathing out, taking God in and giving God back to the world again, with a bit of ourselves attached. So as we began, let us take a breath. Now keep breathing. We can call a mixture of oxygen and carbon dioxide, or we can call it the Holy Spirit. And it counts on us to warm it up, to lend it to our lives. And in return, the Spirit promises to fill us with new wind, to set our minds on fire, giving us voices to think of things we may not even understand. This Pentecost and every day is a day to reorient our lives to the mission of God. When we appropriate the power of God available to us in Christ, we are more nearly fulfilling the Great Commission. Doing so, we sing that beautiful spiritual song of the late Presbyterian minister Daniel Iverson. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. For we believe and trust that God is in charge, that God is in control, and God's breath lasts forever. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Let us pray. O God, life-breathing Spirit, Spirit of healing and comfort, of integrity and truth, we believe and trust in you. Warm winged Spirit, brooding over creation, rushing wind and Pentecostal fire, we commit ourselves to work with you and to renew the face of the earth. Amen.